All right, everyone, we are back here in this Advent retreat. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling alive. I got my coffee. Feeling good? Get yours. And let's begin with a little prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for this time together. We ask that you bless our conversation, bless this talk on your love, discovering more and more how to prepare our hearts for your coming. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. And I am really excited to be here with all of you again today. Just a reminder, my name is Father Kyle Mano. I'm a priest in Rockford Diocese in good old Illinois. In DeKalb, Illinois is where I'm at. Home of corn. Home of barbed wire. Fun fact, barbed wire was invented in DeKalb, Illinois, in the middle of nowhere, essentially. I've been a priest for 2 years, got ordained June 4th, 2016. I am now assigned at a Newman Center at Northern Illinois University, as well as vocation director for the diocese. And it's essentially two full-time jobs. That's what I've been discovering more and more each day. And so I'm excited to be with all of you again on this little conversation, this time journeying through Advent. And just a reminder that Advent comes from two Latin words, ad, meaning to, and venire, meaning come. And so Advent means to come, right? Of course, we're celebrating the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. And what a beautiful time it is to prepare our hearts for that coming through these retreat moments. We get to step back out of our day with a coffee or hot chocolate and just talk about the Lord, how good he is. So today's talk is on the Song of Songs. And the real question is, why is the Song of Songs in Advent, in the readings at Mass? And to first kind of begin that, we have to know, what is the Song of Songs? So Song of Songs is the song of all songs written by the God of the universe. And essentially, it's a love song from God to his people. Right? God is this divine lover who wants to seek us out. He wants to bestow so much grace, love, and mercy on us. And so it's this beautiful song, the greatest song ever written by the God of the universe to his people, to each one of us. And essentially, it's this beautiful poetry. And if you read some of it, I'm going to give you a little snapshot here of what's happening in this story. It begins right in Song of Songs 2, verse 8. Hark, my lover, here he comes, springing across the mountains, leaping across the hills. My lover is like a gazelle or young stag. Here he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattices. My lover speaks to me. He says, arise, my beloved, my beautiful one, and come. So the question is, why is this love song, why is this love language in the season of Advent, when we wear purple, supposed to have a sense of penance, right? Recognizing that we are broken, that we need to make up for our sins, we need to prepare our hearts because the God of the universe is about to show up in the form of a beautiful baby. And so why put in a love story as we are called to meditate on our sins and prepare our hearts? Well, yeah, baby showing up, Jesus Christ, but this child entering the world is love incarnate, right? I mean, all of Advent, all of human history has been a love story, right? The God of the universe, the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, at one time, at some moment, which hard to talk about moment, but God decided to create all of us for one reason, and that was to be loved. There is no other mission that God has in this world. God has no other plan than to love you. That's it. Right? One divine mission, to love you. And so you are called to be loved and then give love. At the moment of creation, God created Adam. He brought him into existence for that purpose, to be loved. And when you were created, we know in the Psalms it says you were knit in your mother's womb, you too were created to be loved. So the question is, how do we receive it? How do we give it? And what I love about Song of Songs and why the church decides to put it in here is because they're trying to remind us that all of the story of creation, all the story of our lives, is to give and receive love, to hear our divine lover, Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, leaping through the hills to find us. But the problem is, why is it so hard for each one of us to receive that love? Well, when I was praying over this idea of why is the Song of Songs in Advent, and the realization that us being loved by God is the entire goal of Christianity, what came to my mind was actually a story that happened about now 3 years ago. It was actually in 2015 when I was a deacon. I had a buddy of mine visiting, and I was not in priest clothes because I was still a deacon, so I was incognito, in casual. We went to this like char house, like a nice fancy restaurant where they sell steak. It was me, my buddy, and his fiance. And we were having dinner, and the waitress came over, and she was very delightful, very nice. And she was serving us for about an hour. After about that hour, she brought us the bill. She asked us if we needed anything else. We ordered dessert. And I realized that I had not really asked much to the woman who was waiting at our table. I want to ask her about who she was. Because I love people. I love talking to people. So, near the end of the meal, I said, "Ma'am, what's your name?" And we'll call her Sandy. So she says, "My name's Sandy." I said, "Oh, Sandy, how you doing?" I said, "Sandy, you have an accent. Where are you from?" And she goes, "I'm from Greece." I said, "Really? You're from Greece? Okay, okay. Well, Sandy, tell me, how long you been in America?" And she said, "Well, I've been here now about 15 years. I said, "15 years? That's a long time, Sandy, to be in the country." I said, "Sandy, tell me, what's better? You left Greece. What's better, Greece or America?" And as I asked the question, it kind of seemed like a weird question, almost a little arrogant. Like, "Hey, what's better, Greece or America?" So she thinks for a second. She says, "You know, America's better." And I said, "Really? Tell me why. Why is America better than Greece?" And she thinks, and she thinks, and she thinks. She says, "Well, the reason that Greece is, or America is better than Greece, is because in America, people aren't judgmental." And all of a sudden, I was like, "What'd you say?" She said, "People in America aren't judgmental." I said, "Oh, well, I'm intrigued. Tell me more." She said, "Well, in Greece, if I wear my bracelets on my wrists and on my ankles, if I wear my jewelry, if I wear my belly belt," I don't know if you remember this, but there was like a fashion thing like in the 90s, early 2000s, that sometimes women or girls would wear like a belt that was like steel or something. I don't know. I don't know women's fashion, but it wasn't a belt. It just went around their waist. She said, "If I wear those outfits, people will call me names." She said, "Specifically, if I dress a certain way, people will call me a prostitute." And I was like, "What?" She goes, "Yeah, in fact, what they'll call me is names so bad as," and I don't like to say this, but this is what she said. She said, "People will call me a whore." And all of a sudden I was like, "Oh, okay." And then she walked away from the table. And as she's walking away, I'm like, "Oh, okay, that was strange." She comes back a few minutes later. She says, "So yeah, people are less judgmental. They won't call me those names here." I said, "Okay." And then she says, "But there is a problem with America." And I said, "Sure, what's the problem? Tell me." She says, "People in America don't learn anything anymore. They don't learn things." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, well, in America, people are too busy on their tablets, on their phones, their iPhones, their Androids, that they're too busy on their screens that they don't learn anything anymore. All of a sudden, for some reason, I said, ma'am, I learn things. And she goes, what? What are you talking about? I said, ma'am, I learn things. I said, in fact, I just graduated with a master's degree. And she looks at me and she goes, and what are you going to do with it? And I was like, okay, excuse me. I don't even know you, ma'am. I said, well, actually, I'm going to be a priest. And she looks at me. And she goes, no, you're not. And I looked at her. And I was like, yeah, you know, actually, I am going to be a priest. And again, she looks at me and she goes, no, you're not. And then she walked away. And I was like, what? She comes back over and she goes, you're just messing with me. You're not going to be a priest. So I pull up my phone, right? And I go through my Facebook. I pull up a picture of me holding a diploma with a cap and gown and wearing my priest collar. And I said, look, that's me in a collar, cap, gown, master's degree in hand. I'm going to be a priest. All right? And she goes, oh, you are going to be a priest. I said, yeah, I'm going to be a priest. Then she looked very serious. And she said, can I ask you a question? And I said, yeah, whatever, go ahead. You can ask anything you want. I'm not afraid. She said, are you going to be one of those priests? One of those? And I said, you can ask whatever you want. And she says, are you going to be one of those priests who, if somebody does something wrong, you're going to tell them to leave the church? And I said, no. No. Actually, I would never do that. The opposite. If somebody does something wrong, I would tell them to come back to the church so we can give them confession so that Jesus can love them in whatever wrong they did. And she goes, okay, I guess. It's just kind of hard for me. I said, what's hard? She said, I've just been away for a long time, and people used to tell me that I had this thing about me, this like aura, like I just walked around so joyful, and people told me I had this thing, and I don't have that anymore. I don't feel a lot, and I haven't cried in years. And all of a sudden I said, well, that's really sad. I said, in fact, you know, I'm going to be a priest in just like 8 weeks. I said, why don't you come visit me and we can just cry together maybe. You just need to cry if you haven't cried in a long time. It's sad. And she goes, I know, but like people said, tell me there was this thing about me. And I said, well, you know, God loves you. She goes, I know he loves me. I know he's with me everywhere I go, in the car and at work and everywhere. And I looked at her and I said, no, ma'am. Like, God loves you so much. I said, like roller coaster love, where you're like, you're strapped in and like you're going up and you're like, I'm scared, I don't know what to do. And then all of a sudden you're looking down and you're like, I'm afraid. And I said, but it's this beautiful like rush of love that God wants to have these highs and these lows and love you in every single moment, from the good to the bad to the great to the suffering. I said, that type of love God wants to give you. And she says, no, I know he loves me. I don't know. She says, I haven't cried in so long, and I don't know, my heart. I don't feel anymore. I just don't feel things. She said, my heart is like, it's. And I looked at her and I said, is your heart, it's numb, isn't it? She goes, yeah, my heart's numb. I don't feel at all. And all of a sudden I had this moment from the Holy Spirit where I just had this sense of kind of where she was at. And I said, ma'am, I think what happened is maybe a lot of people loved you, like a lot of men specifically have loved you, but then they hurt you. And so you associate love to pain, and you received a lot of bad love. You made your heart vulnerable, but then after you were loved, you were hurt. You received a lot of bad love, and now you don't want to get any more. I said, but you know what, Sandy? There's this guy out there named Jesus Christ, and he just wants to give you good love. He wants to get rid of that bad love. He wants to give you good love, and he's never going to hurt you. He's going to love you and never betray you. In fact, there's this passage in the scripture that says that God wants to take out your stony heart. He wants to breathe new life into you and give you a new heart. So that's all that God wants to do. You received a lot of bad love, but there's a man named Jesus who wants to give you good love. I said, in fact, Sandy, I said, I'm going to be a priest in 8 weeks. I said, you have to come to my first mass. I said, I'm getting ordained June 4th. I've got a first mass on June 5th at 1:30 p.m. at St. Thomas the Apostle. I said, it's only about 45 minutes from here. You have to drive on June 5th and come to my first mass. And I don't even know what I'm going to say, but I know the Holy Spirit's going to speak through me and speak through my words, and he's going to speak directly to your heart. And I said, at that moment, at that first mass, he's going to take out your stony heart and give you a new heart and give you good love. Do not be afraid. And she looks at me, and she thinks, and she says, yeah, I'll go. I'll come to your first mass. I'll go. I said, awesome. Great. So we exchanged information. I wrote down all the information, gave her, we connected through Facebook, all that. We kept talking a little bit on the way out. Before I left the restaurant, I walked up to her again after I had paid the bill and everything. And I said, do you mind if I pray over you right now? She goes, yeah, that'd be okay. And so right there in the middle of the restaurant, I prayed over her. I asked God to transform her, and I blessed her. Walked out, fast forward 2 months. I got ordained. I was at my first mass. I came in. I was really nervous. I did all the readings, and as I'm sitting there during the readings, I'm looking around for her, I'm like, where's she at? Didn't see her. I preached, didn't see her. And I was wondering where she was. Consecrated the Eucharist, and I'm giving out communion, and the last person to come up was this lady in a beautiful dress. She received communion, and I didn't hear from her for a long time. We tried to make connection, but never heard from her. I had kind of forgotten what happened. And about 4 months later, I was back at that restaurant as a priest. I forgot that she kind of worked there. And all of a sudden, I see her, and I'm like, oh, there's that lady from the restaurant, from here, from my mass. And she quickly runs up to me, and she says, Father, oh, you're a priest. I said, I am. She said, something happened to me at that mass. She said, God did give me a new heart. He did breathe new life into me. And she said, there has not been a day that hasn't gone by when I've thought about what you said. About that good love that God wants for me. I think about it every day. And I'm different. I said, praise God. And I gave her a blessing. I share that story with you because we're all like her, right? We're afraid of this Song of Songs so often because so many of us have received bad love, and now we're afraid. And the reality is that every relationship in our life, from someone who's either our parent or a sibling or our spouse or just a friend, they're broken like we are. And so at times they will love us and then they will betray us. It's just part of being human that we're not perfect. So we're going to be hurt. And if we're hurt too much, we get afraid. But we need to hear that there is this divine lover who is seeking us out. Yes, here comes my lover. He's seeking me out. He speaks to me and says, "Arise, my beloved, my beautiful one, and come." What God desires for you throughout this Advent and throughout this retreat is for you to spend some time in prayer today and through all of Advent, asking God, where is it that I've received bad love? And wherever that part of your heart is, ask God to show up, to reclaim that moment and breathe new life into the place where you're hurt most. Because that's the only remedy to the bad love, is good love. The only remedy to where you've been hurt is where we need to now be saved. So every day ask Jesus, remove this stony heart. Give me a new heart. Let me see where I've been hurt most. And once those places of hurt are identified, I need you, Jesus Christ, to ravish that part. Breathe new life into me and give me good, good love. Do that today. Ask God where you hurt most. And then ask Him to enter in and be your divine lover. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Lord, Heavenly Father, bless this, your child. Identify with them the broken parts of their heart and let them receive your life and your love. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.